Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, we're reviewing SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. Johnny Hungy is in the ring right now. We're going to get Johnny North on the show, and we're going to talk about WWE and AEW and whatever else comes up in the world of pro wrestling. You know the deal. Pro wrestling talk here on the Ringside Report Network. It's Wrestling Uncensored. It's Friday night. You know what that means. We just watched SmackDown. We're watching Rampage. Aww. Team Hungy just lost. The team of Reynolds and Silver just taking the fall from Malakai Black and his friend Brody King. Brody King getting the pin on Alex Reynolds. Oh, well.
Are you surprised?
No.
I'm not surprised.
No. Not surprised. I just like Johnny Hungy, you know? I want to see him succeed. Wow, quite a maneuver that Brody King hit Alex Reynolds with to finish that match. My God. What a move. That sit-down pile driver thing? Jeez. Hell of a finish.
So it's like the Rikishi driver, and there's Darby Allin there, jumping off the stage.
Oh, there he is. Flying Darby.
So I guess this is going to continue. I think did they already announce this match too as well, I think, for next Wednesday?
Yeah, Dynamite. It will take place. It'll be Darby Allin versus Brody King. Sting there as backup, I think, to make sure Malakai Black doesn't get involved as Darby and Brody are brawling right now. Sting and Malakai Black just kind of facing off. Is that a match you want to see? Sting versus Malakai Black?
I think a tag match would be better.
Yeah.
I don't know about one-on-one.
Yeah.
Have we seen Sting wrestle one-on-one? I don't think so.
Should we?
Probably not. Well, I think it depends. Like, if they would have done that match with Cody, that would have been all right, I think. But
yeah.
There's very few people. Like, maybe Sting and Jericho. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Have we really not seen Sting wrestle a one-on-one match yet in AEW? Has everything he's done been in a multiple-man tag match type deal?
Almost pretty confident about, like 90% yeah. Confident about that, yeah.
I can't remember a one-on-one match that he's had. They kind of teased it there with Aleister Black or whatever. What happened to Darby Allin and Brody King? They started brawling towards the ring. Sting and Malakai Black are staring at each other on the stage. They both walk away in separate tunnels. What happened to Darby and Brody? They disappeared.
They fought off. That's pretty much what happened. And then
they fought
the
off.
Focus
but they went
was
towards
on
the ring.
Sting. I think they fought off to the side, it looked like.
Okay. Fine.
What I saw.
I'll accept it. I don't know. It seemed bizarre. Shout out to everybody watching us live here on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Shout out to Grimskull, Ryan Katz, Lorne and Coach St. Luke, TK. Yes, TK, I will be at SmackDown in a few weeks. The only superstar they're advertising for that SmackDown show. It's a live SmackDown event on a Friday night here at the Bell Center in Montreal. I've got tickets. I'm going to go with my son and my brother and my dad. It'll be a good time. The only wrestler that they're advertising is Roman Reigns. So I assume the Tribal Chief will be there. Because the only guy that I saw on the commercial tonight was Roman Reigns.
Well, that's probably more than half the show right there. It's just Roman Reigns promo, maybe a match, like a six-man tag or something. Remember, this is coming off the heels of SummerSlam going into Clash at the Castle. So it's probably him and Drew McIntyre, probably promo against each other, maybe a tag match against each other. Just a guess, like what will probably happen August 19th, I think.
Yeah. August 19th in Montreal, which is kind of in the middle of the castle thing and the. Because the castle thing is what? Beginning of September? The 4th, I think?
The 3rd, I think.
The 3rd? Yeah, so it's still like 2 weeks out of that thing. and they're 2 weeks removed from SummerSlam, so they're kind of right in the middle when they come to Montreal. I'm kind of surprised Roman Reigns is being advertised because he's not making a lot of SmackDowns. He wasn't on SmackDown tonight. Didn't see Roman tonight, which was unfortunate. Not that I'm the biggest Roman Reigns fan in the world. I think he's all right. But it does feel like SmackDown means more when Roman is there. I feel like the product moves along a little bit more when Roman shows up. Things happen. Not much happened tonight. What did we learn coming out of SmackDown tonight? Jeff Jarrett is going to be the special referee in the Usos Street Profits match at SummerSlam, the millionth match between these teams. We saw Jimmy Uso wrestle Angelo Dawkins tonight. I'm tired of seeing these guys wrestle. It's enough already. They wrestled again tonight. And then the big announcement that we're waiting for at the end of the show is who's going to be the special referee. I couldn't quite figure it out. I was like, well, who are they going to get that'll mean anything? And it turns out they didn't get anybody that meant anything. They got Jeff Jarrett, who works for the WWE, who is a Nashville favorite, I suppose, and SmackDown will be in Nashville, maybe trying to sell a couple more tickets by having Jeff Jarrett as a special referee. But if this was like, you know, Naomi, it would be like, oh, what? You know, if this was, I mean, it's tough. I guess, you know, Jeff Jarrett, I'm not super mad that it's Jeff Jarrett because in the end, they didn't have many options. Who really makes sense as a special guest referee here? Who could they have got? Bubba Dudley, maybe somehow? You know, like a Devon. Like, well, it's a he's a legend of the tag team, you know, division, legendary tag team wrestler. If he's the special referee, it makes this match mean more because you're kind of given the rub of, hey, these are the Usos and the Street Profits. These are two tag teams to recognize and respect. Where right now, I think most wrestling fans would recognize and respect and acknowledge the Usos as being an all-time great tag team, but the Street Profits are on the bubble at best. They're not there. So I think if you had a guy like Bubba Dudley, if you had a guy like even Edge, you know, like a famous tag team wrestler, it might help. But they didn't go in that direction. They went with Jeff Jarrett, who's not known as a tag team guy at all, who has nothing.
Former tag champ.
With who? Road Dogg?
No. With Owen, actually.
Oh, right, when Deborah was their manager. Was that Owen or Blue Blazer?
That was Owen.
With the caution tape? Was that caution tape, Owen?
Yeah. They defended at WrestleMania 15 against, I think it was Test and D'Lo, I think it was. It's a WrestleMania 15 match.
Well, there you go. But I don't think most people would consider Jeff Jarrett a tag team wrestler, right?
For the most, I mean, because he was NWA champion so many times over.
Yeah. And Intercontinental champion in WWE a few times, you know, like, he just doesn't fit with the Usos or the Street Profits in any way. He has no connection story-wise that you can even try and get with Jeff Jarrett and these two teams. How does he fit other than it's in Nashville and they want to sell some more tickets? And they think Jeff Jarrett is the answer as the referee. In a tag team match that we've seen a million times before and no one cares about. Like, the special ref is an attempt also for the fans to make you care more about the match, but I don't care more about this match because Jeff Jarrett's the referee. Do you?
Well, for me, Jeff Jarrett, like, he was someone who was kind of important in the early 2000s. Like, if you think about it, he was one of the strongest champions for so long. Like, people considered him, like, the Triple H to, like, you know, how things are now in a sense. Like, when we had two champions in WWE, like, Jeff Jarrett was considered the second greatest champion besides Triple H at one point. So I can see in terms of like the marquee, people could see like Jeff Jarrett's probably one of the biggest names they could get. And again, the market as well, it makes a lot of sense in Nashville. Like he was like the biggest star there for so many years. Like I understand this, like, and SummerSlam as well too. Like he's had a lot of great SummerSlam moments. I just feel like they didn't have anybody else. Jeff Jarrett was the biggest star they had. So I got no problem with it, because in the end, this is just supposed to be the guy to make sure we actually have a referee that sees both shoulders down for once. It really could have been anybody. This was just the biggest one they got.
Because at the pay-per-view, somebody had their shoulders up, right? And then tonight again in the match, somebody had their shoulder up. Dawkins? No.
Right.
Jimmy Uso had his shoulder up tonight, but at the pay-per-view, I think it was Dawkins who had, or Montez maybe had his shoulder up at the pay-per-view, right?
Right, yeah.
And then tonight, Charles Robinson got bumped. He was the referee. Jimmy Uso versus Dawkins was your main event.
Yep, because of the announcement.
Yeah, and how did the announcement feel?
Well, underwhelming, but again, this was for the Nashville crowd. This wasn't for the crowd in Florida.
Or the TV audience.
Unless you're a Jeff Jarrett fan, which I'm sure there are some.
I mean, diehard Jeff Jarrett fans still that are like, oh, yes. Even when Jeff Jarrett was on top, did he have fans? Like, no disrespect to Jeff Jarrett. He's a, you know, solid wrestler or whatever. Nice guy, too. I've met Jeff Jarrett. Very nice guy. But, like, you know, he's Double J. Like, he never moved the needle. It's not Stone Cold showing up. It's not Shawn Michaels. They couldn't have got Shawn Michaels, put him in one of those tight referee shirts, and have him call the match. Shawn Michaels would make more sense. Because I associate Shawn Michaels more as being a special guest referee. Did he not special guest referee Bret Hart versus Undertaker at SummerSlam 97?
He did.
SummerSlam, special guest referee, one of the most important matches of all time. I remember exactly what happened. Bret spit. Or wait, did Bret spit?
Yes.
Yeah, Bret spit. Yeah, Bret. It missed Sean and hit Taker.
Oh, no, no. It hit Sean.
It hit Sean
pretty good.
And then Sean went to hit Bret with a chair, but Sean missed the chair shot and hit Taker. And then Bret covered Taker, and Sean had to make the cover because he was down. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's right. See, my memory's not so bad. Certain things I remember. I got it a little wonky, but I got it in the end.
97 is a long time ago now, so
yeah,
sense.
It's a long time ago. But you see, Sean was the ref. So in my mind, I guess not everybody's in my mind, which is probably a good thing for everybody else. But I associate Sean. What?
I said like Randy Orton voices.
Yeah. They don't counsel me, though. They give me bad advice every time. And they don't understand. They don't understand. I'm like, I don't think this is a good idea. And they're like, shut up. Stop thinking so much. I'm like, aren't you thinking? It's a whole thing. that's not really happening. Don't worry. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about anymore. I just associate Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee more than Jeff Jarrett. I don't see the association with Jeff Jarrett, with the Usos and the Profits. And, you know, Shawn is a bigger star. I know maybe not in Nashville, but maybe he is. Pull the average Nashville wrestling fan and ask them who they'd rather see, Shawn Michaels or Jeff Jarrett. Might be close. People like Shawn Michaels quite a bit. He's pretty famous. People say he's the greatest wrestler of all time. I don't, but a lot of people do say that. So I don't hear many people saying that about Jeff Jarrett, is all I'm saying.
Well, I won't deny that Shawn is a bigger star than Jeff Jarrett ever was. I don't think Jeff Jarrett would ever disagree with that. However, I don't think Shawn can get physically active, though. I don't think he wants to get physically active. And I think Jeff Jarrett, I don't think he'd mind, actually. I know that he's backstage more often now. makes sense. I mean, he's there, so use him. Out of all the guys they have backstage, all those producers and all that, he's the biggest name. There's no question about it.
Really? He's the biggest name they have?
Well, what? They have Curtis Axel. They have, like, Jason Jordan. Like, you know, Jeff Jarrett destroys all of them. Like, come
I
on.
Guess.
Daivari? Is Daivari there? Or Daivari
I don't know.
Left?
I don't know.
Still a bigger name.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess so. I guess so. I'm seeing a lot of Yankees talk in the chat, and it's getting me excited. The Yankees just tied the Red Sox in the bottom of the ninth. Thank you, Doug, for the updates. I don't have the game on. What channel is the game on, Doug? What channel are you watching this game on? Because I have all the channels for the baseball, and I couldn't find this game anywhere. I don't know why. I was looking earlier tonight to watch the game, and I couldn't find it. It was pissing me off, to be honest. I want to know what...
Sportsnet. Surprising.
No, they have the Blue Jays game on Sportsnet. I checked the MLB Network. It was blacked out. I don't know what they were showing, but it was like, oh, this game is blacked out in your area. So maybe it was the Red Sox and Yankees game there on the MLB Network, but it wasn't showing for me. I had all the MLB channels, and I don't have the Yankee game. I have every other game in baseball, but I don't have the Yankees-Red Sox game from tonight, which is the game I wanted to see. I was watching the Yankee game last night. We lost in the 10th inning. It really pissed me off. They lost two or three. They lost two or three from the Reds. Oh, Prime Video exclusive. I got Amazon Prime Video. Does that work for me in Canada? Can I watch that in Canada on my Prime Video? I've got a freaking Prime Video right in front of me.
Surprised they have Prime Video for MLB.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why they do that.
That's weird. Well, for that big of a game, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. People want to see it. You want to see it, so it makes sense.
Well, Ryan Katz is saying it's on TVA Sports. What channel is that?
Is it? Right now on Rampage, we got the ROH World Championship on the line right here.
Yeah, Jonathan Gresham. Jonathan Gresham is wrestling Lee Moriarty, right?
That's what's happening right now, yeah. I don't expect the title change here. I thought maybe they saved this for the pay-per-view, but nope. Tonight. And now the rumor is Claudio is going to get the title shot at Death Before Dishonor. That makes the pay-per-view much more interesting. Yeah, I saw your dad talked about that. It's on Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on. I want to get the game. Somebody just sent me a link or something. I don't know. I want to see the end of this game. Yankees just tied it in the bottom of the ninth. I watch the Yankees every night. Every time there's a game, I'm trying to watch it. You know? I can't get enough. I can't get enough of the Yankees. And wrestling these days, like SmackDown tonight, was not
great. Not great, huh?
Was not great.
I had a feeling you say that.
You know? And this Jonathan Gresham, Lee Moriarty thing, like, I'm a fan of Jonathan Gresham, but AEW has not done a great job of explaining to me why I need to care about these matches and all this stuff that they're doing with Ring of Honor. You know? They've not convinced me. I don't know why Lee Moriarty is this a title shot?
It is.
At the Ring of Honor, like, world title, right?
Yep.
This just shows you it's a mid-card company that means nothing. Their world title is being defended on the B show, and it's not even the main event. We still have Chris Statlander and Athena teaming up against Charlotte and Robin Renegade. And then the main event tonight will be the Lucha Brothers and Private Party. That's the main event.
Over. Moriarty just tapped out.
Yeah.
Not surprising, too.
But do you see what I'm saying about this company? Like,
I didn't realize Tully Blanchard was with them. Wow.
How are you supposed
to the ROH guy?
But how are you supposed to care about these guys when they're in the mid-card? When we don't know what the story is, and this is their world title. They're presented as mid-card, mean-nothing jabronis, you know?
Well, they really have to separate ROH and AEW. It shouldn't be the same, which it is right now. Like, ROH needs its own show. It shouldn't be the little extra that you see on AEW every week. It doesn't work.
But that's all it is right now, right? And how long is this going to go on for? They have a pay-per-view. Is it this weekend?
Actually, no, it's next week. Sorry.
Next Saturday, right? They have a pay-per-view next Saturday. Why would anyone care? You know, why would anyone care about this pay-per-view when the world championship is being decided in the middle of a rampage? Not even middle of a Dynamite card. A middle of a rampage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people would care. But the pay-per-view looks pretty good, though, on paper so far.
But do you have to pay for it? Who's buying this other than the super, super hardcore fans of whatever? Well, here comes Claudio. I guess it'll be Claudio versus Jonathan Gresham. And they're going to try and sell it through that.
It's a pretty solid main event when you think about it.
Does it?
Ooh.
I don't know. It doesn't make me want to buy the show.
Well, you also have FTR, Briscoe's, 2x3 Falls. And it looks like Christopher Daniels is involved. He's doing a promo right now. I'm not sure what he's saying.
I don't know who he's talking about. Samoa Joe, Jay Lethal?
Going to make a three-way?
I don't know. I can't find this Yankee game, and it's kind of pissing me off. I'm trying to find the Yankee game. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know what it's on. And apparently, they had the bases loaded, and they grounded out to a double play, and now they're going into extra innings. Extra innings have not been kind to the Yankees over the past few nights. Although I think they did win one. They won. The one game they took from the Reds was in extra innings. They won on a wild pitch, a pass ball. DJ LeMahieu came in and scored. That was one victory from the Reds, but not enough. Not enough! Losing 2 of 3 from the Reds did not look good. Clay Holmes is not looking good lately. He was a lights-out closer. He's looking weak. I don't know what's happening, but the Yankees need a break. The All-Star break might be the thing they need to change things up. They got to figure out what they're going to do with couple players that are not producing. And now we have Chris Statlander and Athena on AEW Rampage. AEW Rampage is just a jabroni program. You know, like, they've not done a good job of making it mean anything. It's on at 10 o'clock at night. It's the taped show. 10 o'clock on a Friday night. And it's the taped show. Like, Dynamite is the live show. Once in a while, they make Rampage. Oh, I just got the Yankee game put on in front of me on my screen here. The production team is helping me out. Yes, thank you.
I'm seeing it too, actually.
Good. I've got AEW Rampage over here on my phone, so I don't need it on the production screen. I need the Yankees game on my production screen while I'm looking at Johnny North. Thank you.
Priorities.
We're in the 10th. Can I say also, I hate this extra inning, you get a runner on second base thing? That's just stupid. You should earn your runners. You don't just get a runner in scoring position to start an inning. Oh, did that thing happen again?
What thing happened again? Did you freeze?
Yeah.
It happened again. Wow. It didn't happen last night, which is crazy. It only happens during the wrestling show for whatever
reason.
Well,
that's a problem. We need to fix that. Somebody needs to fix my thing here. Help me out.
Might need a reset, possibly. But I think you're back. No? No.
No. Hold on. I'm coming back.
We can hear you.
I'm coming back, baby. Here I am. I'm back.
You're back.
What the hell?
Nice.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah.
Well, we're going to need more support from our fan base. Get a new camera, it sounds like.
No, I don't think it's the camera. I think it's something with our wrestling production. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Doug Hepburn agrees. It's like the visiting team has an advantage when you get a runner on second base. It's not right to start a runner on second base, because then if you score a run, it's like last night they scored, the Reds scored three runs in the top of the seventh, and then the Yankees scored two. They couldn't come back and score three, and they lost 7-6. It was really irritating to watch. So this Statlander-Athena match has devolved. I think that they have won. They beat the Renegade Sisters. I don't know if they're sisters. And now they're attacking somebody. One of the baddies, I think. Oh, here comes Jade Cargill. Here comes Jade Cargill. And Kiera Hogan, who's another baddie, who's an official baddie. And now Jade is beating up Athena, who used to be known as Ember Moon, in case you're wondering who Athena is. Which, you know, I can't blame you. Jade Cargill and Kiera Hogan coming in and beating up Chris Statlander and Athena. Jade is the best.
Well, how you were talking about SmackDown before, how much you didn't like it.
I mean, nothing happened on SmackDown. First of all, we didn't have many wrestling matches.
I think you said we had one match in 1 hour.
Yeah.
You mentioned that on Twitter.
The first hour, there was one match. It was Liv Morgan and Natty. Everything else was just like promos. It seemed like we were going to have a couple matches, but they never wound up happening. Like the New Day came out dressed as the Viking Raiders, and then the Viking Raiders came out, which I thought the New Day's promo was actually pretty entertaining. I like that. I thought they had a cool costume. I thought that they were funny and they were good and talking about pirates, and Woods saying how, you know, Kofi's like, well, why are you talking like that? They don't talk like that. And he's like, Woods is like, oh, you know, I don't do good accents like you, Kofi. Like, I thought that their banter was funny. I thought that their timing was good. Like, I'm always down for the New Day doing a comedy bit because I think that they do that stuff very well. The WWE is always trying to stick us with this lame comedy. But New Day does that comedy stuff very well for them. They're some of the best that has ever done it for them in this kind of modern era. So I thought that delivered. I thought their promo was good. But then the Viking Raiders come out and go all rah, 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 death and destruction. And even Woods is like, isn't that what you say all the time? Don't you know any more words than like crush you into oblivion or whatever they said? And then the Raiders come out, and the New Day jumps on them. And then the Raiders kind of bail out, and Jinder and Shanky show up for some reason. And Shanky starts dancing.
Jumped last week.
Right. But they're just there, you know? It's just, and then it's a mess of a segment. It's like all of a sudden Jinder and Shanky, and Shanky's dancing, and Jinder's not having it. But Jinder now is staying with Shanky. And, you know, before Shanky would dance and Jinder would leave. But now Jinder's hanging with Shanky, so I guess he's down with Shanky's dancing. I don't know. But no match came out of this. You would figure like maybe it'd be the Raiders against New Day or the Raiders against Jinder and Shanky, but nothing happened. There was no match. It was just like a long promo. And then Lacey Evans was out to do a match with Aaliyah, but then she cut a promo about how she's an American hero, and the fans aren't respecting her enough, and they don't give her standing ovation, and the fans don't deserve to watch her wrestle, so she's not going to wrestle. And then she didn't wrestle. So we had two kind of long promos that felt like they were leading into a match in the first hour of SmackDown that never wound up being a match. And the promos weren't particularly great. You know, they were okay. The New Day stuff was funny, you know. But once the Raiders came out and then Jinder and Shanky, it just got a little, it dragged. You know, I wanted it to end at that point. Same with Lacey Evans. I was like, all right, I get it, Lacey. It just dragged. Like, it was fine for a bit, and then I was like, all right, you're saying basically the same stuff you said last week. It's clear you're not going to wrestle Aaliyah. Can we just kind of move on with this? And it's not the performer's fault. It's just, hey, you came out last week and cut this nice promo about the fans don't deserve you and all this stuff, and you decided not to wrestle. This week, you're going to do a shortened version of that again. They're not giving her much to work with. They're not giving us much to watch either.
You see this a lot, though, where it's just them hammering home the whole idea that this is the way it's going to be from now on. Like, she's going to be the heel, and maybe in case you didn't see it last week, we'll have to show you the video package, and then she'll have to pretty much redo the promo again so you really understand this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, but they hammered it home with the promo and the video package before, like, they did the video package before the promo, and it was the whole promo, basically, from last week, and then she comes out, and she does, like, a condensed version of what you just saw on the screen.
Right.
What the arena just saw, what the fans at home just saw, and it gets no reaction, because we just saw you do this. We get it, Lacey, you're mad that we don't like you. And there's really no progression. Nothing really happened. And Aaliyah, by the way, she's doing nothing. She's standing in the corner watching Lacey do this promo, and she doesn't decide to attack her. She doesn't decide to do anything. She just stands in the corner looking dumbfounded as to what is happening. What am I doing in this ring? Aaliyah doesn't care if she's wrestling or not. It's just awful.
Well, she got screen time, so, I mean, there's that. She's on TV every week. Not doing
she's real
much,
shiny.
She's on TV every week.
Real shiny. Yep.
It's a nice tanner, I guess, you know.
Not just tanner. That's what helps she's with real the shiny. Everything. Shiny.
WWE makeup. It's
yeah.
The best. But, you know,
Vince
I mean,
likes it when you're shiny. Vince likes it when you're shiny, apparently. Shinier the better.
I have to sign an NDA for that one, I guess.
Yeah, I think you do.
Just come as you are. Oh,
I think you do.
Come as you are, okay.
When Vince tells you you're real shiny, I think he's hinting at something. Liv Morgan beat Natalia. I mean, this goddamn show started with a Pat McAfee in-ring promo.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I mean, come on, man. How you going to try and salvage this show when the main event is Jimmy Uso versus Angelo Dawkins, and your opening promo, you start the night with Pat McAfee? By the way, is Michael Cole the world's fastest man? Because I don't understand what they did there. Did you notice? They go, Michael Cole says, okay, here, Michael Cole's in the ring, okay? And he goes, okay, here's Pat McAfee. And then they show like a video package of Pat McAfee and Baron Corbin or whatever to recap their thing, and Michael Cole is narrating it.
I didn't notice that.
So Michael Cole was narrating it, and I'm like, oh, I guess he went back to the desk already? That was fast. Like, it sounded like he was back at the desk. And then you cut back to the ring after the video package, and Michael Cole's in the ring welcoming Pat McAfee to the ring. And I'm like, my God. He moves incredibly fast. Obviously, it was a pre-taped video package, but it was odd. You know? Because clearly he wasn't on the house mic when he was doing the audio for that video package. It was a pre-taped package. But it did seem like Michael Cole was just kind of darting back and forth from the desk back into the ring. Anyways.
I
but that's
see
how they
you
started.
See it like that.
Yeah. But that's how they started this stupid show.
And I found that McAfee, besides finally admitting that, yeah, him and Corbin were roommates, teammates, didn't really say much of anything else. Just that, okay, he's going to wrestle Corbin. Then Corbin came on the screen. They're going to wrestle. That's pretty much nothing really interesting was said.
No, it was not a good promo. It was not good. Not many good promos tonight. Doug Hepburn makes a good point. Lacey was good last week. This week was shitty. I agree. Her promo was great last week. This week, nothing. Because last week was fresh and new. This week, they gave her nothing. Johnny, you keep coughing. Are you okay?
I'm okay, but just I have a bad cough. That's it.
Uh-oh. Have you got tested?
Yeah, I got tested. I just have a bad cough.
It's running rampant, this new COVID, I've heard.
But it's not, though. I just got a bad cough.
COVID mania running wild, brother.
Make sure you get tested, though. It's important.
Yeah, but if you think you might have something, get tested. Test yourself out.
Yeah. But I feel, you know, it wasn't the best start of the show. I didn't mind that we had a match afterwards, though. The Liv and Natalya match, I was interested in that because of what happened at the house show.
Right. So Liv and Natty had a match last weekend at the house show. Liv, Natty, and Ronda, right? It was a triple threat?
Apparently.
And
we saw Liv and Natty.
Yeah. And Liv pinned Natty with her finisher, and as soon as the 1-2-3, Natty got up and was like pointing at Liv and seemed to be yelling at her and then rolled out of the ring and left. And it seemed like something had happened in the ring and Natty was upset. But she said on Twitter that she was just thanking Liv for the match and it wasn't anything serious. It wasn't an issue between the two. And then, John, people were saying that that wasn't true. People were questioning Natty. Well, they were skeptical because it really didn't seem like she was thanking her. It seemed like she was yelling at her for something. And then Natty deleted that tweet where she said that she was just thanking her for the match.
The thing is, if you saw the video, like, she pins her, 1-2-3, Natty immediately pops up, points in her face, says something, and then says something again, and then rolls out, just walks away. Like, if that's a thank you, I have a hard time believing someone would ever say thank you. Just to point up, thank you very much for that match. Yeah, like that. Like, I have a hard time believing that. I think a lot of people didn't believe her, and then she deleted that tweet. So I feel like maybe she was trying to cover up something, possibly. I think something happened. You don't see the whole match, though. So maybe something happened in the match that she wasn't happy with or something. And, you know, so things were said afterwards. Again, this is a live event. This is, you know, house show kind of match. So, you know, they don't follow the whole script. They kind of just do their own little thing in those kind of matches. So things can go awry, I think, easier in those situations when they kind of plan everything out. In these matches, they probably don't plan things out so much. And it's easier to make more mistakes.
If Natty Neidhart is yelling at you after your match, and she's doing it in the ring in front of people, she's that mad that she's yelling at you right after the match happens. She's not even selling your finisher. She's getting up after the three and she's yelling at you in front of everybody. Chances are Liv Morgan's in the wrong, not Natty Neidhart. Whatever happened, it's Liv's fault.
Well,
because Natty knows what the hell she's doing. That's how I feel about
you
it.
Still,
Team Natty forever.
Regardless if Liv did something wrong, whatever, I mean, to pop up like that and kind of like no sell the finish, just, you know, kind of crap on the whole match altogether doing that, that's still very unprofessional and she shouldn't do that. Because that's another thing too, like, it might be a house show, but that still got out and it caused quite a bit of talk over the internet. And it's a bad look for WWE. You don't want that. So Natty, also being the veteran, has to, you know, be the pro and be like, if there's a problem, you settle it backstage. You don't settle it in the ring like that and make a spectacle of it.
It was a spectacle.
But he, the moment, things happen. You know,
yeah.
It happens.
I don't blame
Apparently,
Natty at
they've
all.
Worked it out.
I mean, they had
I mean,
a match
if you saw
tonight.
Tonight. Right. Exactly.
It was fine.
There was no issues. Well, it was kind of sloppy, but I mean, it's the usual sloppiness.
Well, it's a Liv Morgan match.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a standard match. I mean, they're trying to push Liv like crazy, but like,
Yeah.
she's only as good as she can be, you know?
Well, yeah. That's what I, and that's my whole problem with pushing Liv this hard right now. It's like, well, she's not really as good as the other top talent that you have. You know, I don't really see the promos aren't there. The wrestling isn't there. What is it exactly? I don't really get it. You know, you got Bianca Belair, you've got Becky Lynch, you've got Charlotte Flair coming back, you've got Bayley probably coming back, you've got Asuka who exists in your division, you've got Lacey Evans. I mean, you've got freaking Ronda Rousey, you know, you got Rhea Ripley hopefully coming back soon. Like, you've got some serious talent, and all those names I would put above Liv Morgan. Gleyber Torres just grounded into a double play in the
I
tag.
saw that. I saw his reaction and your reaction. The same reaction, anger.
Oh, yeah, the base is loaded
It's
with
not
one
over.
out. Base is loaded with one out, bottom of the 10th. You have the opportunity to win the game, and you ground out. I mean, you hit it in
Yeah,
the
but it's not
outfield.
over.
Chances are you tag up and you win. A nice sac fly and you're winning, but Gleyber couldn't get it out of the infield and he grounded into a double play. The game isn't over, but we're going into the 11th now. 4-4
Yeah,
Yanks
it's
and
not
Red
over.
Sox.
Still tied.
I'm watching the game way more than I'm watching Rampage. I know Rampage is happening right now, but
Main event's
it's
happening right
the
now.
Lucha Brothers versus the Private Party. They have demoted the Private Party so far down the list of tag teams that, you know, no one cares. They shook up their tag team division this week, though. I want to talk about the new tag team champions in a bit. Liv Morgan beats Natty tonight in a non-title match with the Oblivion. That finisher is terrible. It looked really bad tonight, and overall, it's just a bad finishing move. The thing where she jumps on the ropes and then, what is that even?
Well, it's a combo thing though too, because first she does that like kind of code breaker, and then the person falls into the ropes. Then she does like the flatliner off the ropes. So it's a combo thing. She always does it like that pretty much. So that's really her finish. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just whatever it is. It's something she does. It's different. They don't mind it. So I don't think it's great, but it's something different. And not everyone has a great finisher. So it to me, it's. You know, she can do it. She can hit it. It looks like it kills her more than it kills her opponent, but
Well, yeah.
whatever.
And you're hitting a move near the ropes. It's a move that you need to pin your opponent afterwards, and you're bringing them right next to the ropes every time you hit your finish, which seems, you know, not smart to avoid rope breaks and stuff as a finishing move. You know, I'm just thinking. But that's okay. Theory is all over the place. There's so much theory. They're pushing him like crazy. Theory wants to be, well, he's the money in the bank guy, right? And he's having a feud with Bobby Lashley, and it seems like he's feuding maybe with Dolph Ziggler now too, because Riddle and Bobby Lashley main evented against Theory and Seth Rollins on Raw this week, and Theory had his feet on the ropes. Dolph Ziggler showed up midway through this tag team match for no reason in particular.
For
And
the
then,
end, pretty much.
well, yeah, just for the finish, but he just shows up. He hasn't been on TV in a while and he just showed up. And then Theory had his feet on the ropes to use him as leverage for a pin. Ziggler pushed Theory's feet off the ropes, which distracted him and allowed Riddle to hit Theory with the RKO to get the win for Riddle and Bobby on Raw this week. So Theory is on the run from Ziggler and Bobby Lashley, and he wants to cash in Money in the Bank on Brock or Roman, whoever wins at SummerSlam, and Paul Heyman shows up and tells Theory not to do that. Instead, set up a proper match with Roman Reigns, and it'll be more valuable for him, and it'll be a big money match. Don't cash in on Roman when he's not expecting it. Have a match with Roman that he will see coming. Theory, doesn't
Ooh.
like that plan. What? What happened?
Somebody just got nailed.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It was a Red Sox guy. You can take it.
For the Red Sox, who cares?
Fall down all day. Theory says he's going to cash in at SummerSlam, and he might have to hire Heyman to be his special counsel when he's the new champion. So it's a lot of theory. We saw more theory. Madcap Moss, like, you got a Pat McAfee promo to open the show. Then you have a Madcap Moss theory match that ends in disqualification when Theory just attacks Moss with the briefcase. And then I don't even know what happened after this. A bunch of guys came out. The Usos came out. No, Sami Zayn came out.
Sami Zayn.
First.
Right.
To say that Theory should apologize to the Bloodline for saying that he's going to cash in on Roman Reigns. And then Theory's like, yeah, well, yeah, Sammy's got a sling on because he got hurt at some point. What? Why?
Money in the bank.
Okay. He's just selling or something really happened? Is he okay?
I wouldn't be surprised he got really hurt. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's a tough match.
Yeah. I just don't recall anything happening to him, but, I mean, you never know. You might not notice whatever happens.
Matt Jackson got hurt by just taking a suplex, so.
Oh.
It's the craziest thing sometimes.
Is Matt Jackson okay?
Apparently, like, he's a little banged up.
Hmm. So the Usos come out, right? As, like, backup for Sami Zayn, I guess, because Theory's, like, dismissive of Sami Zayn and he doesn't want to apologize to the Bloodline because he's coming for Roman Reigns, possibly.
Right.
So the Usos come out and they distract Theory, which allows Moss to, like, attack Theory from behind. Who was the babyface there? Was it Theory? Was it Moss? If it's Moss, then the Usos would be too. But if it's Theory, then what? That was a weird juxtaposition of talent in that little segment.
Well, you saw what they did with Heyman, where Heyman was trying to play both sides with Theory and Madcap.
Yeah.
So that was their way of being like, oh, Theory could be a face because, like, maybe he won't go with Heyman's plan, but he'll use Heyman, you know? Like, it was heels acting like heels to each other, and then Madcap just staying the way he is. So to me, it was just characters playing true to what they're supposed to be. Like, these guys are heels. They're going to act like heels, but this is another heel they're interacting with, and he's still going to be a heel, though. Like, to me, it all made sense.
Did you like it?
I mean, it wasn't anything long. The only problem was that match. I thought the match just really didn't have much to it. That was too long. Like, that went a commercial break. Really didn't need to go a commercial break.
And they were going to give us Drew versus Sheamus with the winner facing the champ at the Clash at the Castle. But instead, this week, it's Ridge Holland taking Sheamus's place. And Drew beat Ridge. Huh? I don't know why.
What?
Who knows?
Like, to me, I'm watching that. And I'm just seeing, like, well, they ring the bell. Oh, well, Ridge is in the ring, so it's going to be him in the match. What? That's how it works now? Like, the guy's in the ring and they ring the bell. Well, that's the match is going to be. That's what it looked like to me, how it turned out. But the match, that wasn't the match advertised. They advertised the Sheamus match, which was an important match.
Yeah, they advertised it last week too. Same thing as they did last week with, didn't Butch get the match instead?
But at least Sheamus said he was, like, sick. So there was a reason why they couldn't do the match. This was just like, well, they rang the bell. Ridge is in the ring. Well, that's the match. I'm like, what?
And it wasn't much of a match either.
Honestly, I think it was the best match just because Drew was making fun of Sheamus doing his moves.
And the competition was Liv and Natty, Jimmy Uso and Angelo Dawkins, and Madcap and Theory.
Well, that helps too when the competition is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Not too good. Not too good. And that was SmackDown tonight. Also, they're going to debut a new person in the models a lady model. Maxine Dupree, who is Max Dupree's half-sister, will debut on SmackDown this week, apparently. How about that?
Someone from NXT, I'm going to guess.
I don't know. Probably. I don't care.
I mean, it's not going to add too much in the way this thing's going, because they're just doing the whole like fashion runway thing right now. So they're just going to add a woman to it. Like, this is the problem too with this whole like factions with women. Like, it's hard to do matches because there's so few factions that have women in them. Like, they were able to pull it off once, the makeshift team against Judgment Day. But now on SmackDown, like, you really don't have much to work with. I mean, so many just random whatever with a woman against the maximum male models, or maximum models now, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be hard to get this over.
Well, maybe it's still male models because she's, like, not one of the models. She's maybe part of the management of the agency because she's the guy's sister. I'm not sure what her role is in this group. I don't know.
Tune in next week.
I guess I will. I do every week, even though I don't know why. WWE is going to be going back to TV-14 from TVPG. You think that changes anything?
Well, apparently it was supposed. They say it was supposed to happen Monday. It's not happening Monday.
Oh.
They hope it will happen at some point in time. So, wait and see. I think it's a rumor. I know McAfee mentioned it. McAfee said, like, oh, TV-14, whatever, this could be happening. I don't think SmackDown is going to TV-14. Like, Raw is on cable, so that's a little bit different, but broadcast television, that's not TV-14. That won't happen. I don't know what you think about that, but, you know, if anything, Raw, maybe. But even then, like, you might lose sponsorships with that if you go TV-14. So is it worth the risk?
I don't think much would really change. I think they maybe want to get away with a few more swear words, and that's all they're trying to do. Brock said shit on Raw this week, right?
Wants. Yeah, exactly. It's like 8 o'clock, just drop the S word. Like,
yeah, Cowboy Brock started Raw this week talking about Roman Reigns. Says he's been living high on the hog. Did Brock get a Texas accent just because they were in Texas? What happened there?
He was trying to do it.
It was weird. And he says the tribal hog is going down, and he slaughters hogs on his farm every day. Every day? You're slaughtering hogs every day? Really? Seems. Anyways, he's going to give him a shit kicking. And then Paul Heyman came out and talked about how great Brock Lesnar is at putting people down for a 10 count, and it's a last man standing match, and you got to put the guy down for 10, and Brock can do that. But Heyman will instruct the tribal chief to stick his hand up Brock Lesnar's ass to put him down. That's what he said, right? That was, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like the way to put a man down. I guess if you stick a, I mean, it would be.
I mean,
I don't know.
Awkward.
Yeah, it's not something you. I don't even think. I mean, it would be horribly painful, I imagine. But I don't want to talk about sticking hands up people's butts. You know, that's what Paul Heyman talks about. I don't want to be thinking about that. It's disgusting. People call it fisting. You know, it's gross.
I think we're going to see that on WWE television.
I think it's gross. Some people might like it, but I think that sticking your hand up a man or a woman's butt, your whole hand, I think it's kind of gross, especially if you've got like gigantic Roman Reigns hands. You're going to stick those up Brock Lesnar's butt, and you think that is the key to putting him down for a 10 count? I mean, it probably would. You might kill him. I don't know. Sounds horrible. That's also like sexual assault, isn't it? It's pretty bad.
I think,
you can't do that. I think it's very bad because I don't think Brock would be a willing participant. That's not consensual at that point. That's a sexual assault that Paul Heyman is talking about. That's a vicious sexual assault, too. Terrible. But Brock said he was going to slaughter Roman Reigns, you know, which means death. So that's also pretty bad. Brock is threatening murder. Heyman is threatening sexual assault at the very least.
It's going to be war at SummerSlam.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. It's going to be war. I can't wait. Just once, I want somebody to come out and be like, we got a Falls Count Anywhere match. I know it's really hard to put you down, so I'm going to get something really heavy, and I'm going to put it on you, and then you won't be able to move for 10, and I'll win that way, baby. You know, because that's a good way to win in one of those matches. Get a forklift, stick it on the guy. He can't move. He's like, arr! You know? The referee counts 10 because he's on his back. You know?
It's Do been that. Done.
I know. But I want, like, a heel to come out and be like, this is my plan. My plan is to get something really heavy and put you under it. I can't put you down with punches and kicks, but I think that if I put something really heavy on you, you might be stuck. Anyways, a theory showed up after Heyman talked about Brock getting a hand up his butt. Theory came out again. So much theory. And he was on, like, a mini stage next to the entrance ramp. I don't know where that stage came from. Talked about the money. Yeah. Have they?
Yeah, ever since they started doing like promos like in the entranceway.
Yeah.
They have this little stage now. I think it's like they call it like the Okerlund position.
Yeah, I can see that. I've seen people do promos on that, but I haven't seen people like come out of the come out of the entrance and go right there. Usually they're already there when you see them, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, theory came out and went right on to the ramp. He climbed up on the little stage, talked about Money in the Bank, mumbled through a promo called the Roman Reigns. It was not a good promo from Theory there on Raw. And then Otis
and the segment.
Yeah, he killed the segment. He made it way worse.
Yeah.
And then Otis and Chad Gable showed up for no reason in particular other than to take a vicious beating from Brock Lesnar. What did these guys do?
It was a great beating, though.
Yeah, but why were they there? They showed up. They're just like, And then it's like, what do you think's going to happen, man? Brock's going to beat the shit out of you. Why? What did these guys do? Taking chair shots, taking stair shots. Otis went through a table. Brock couldn't really get him with an F5. That F5 was not complete.
That was a DVD.
Yeah, what the hell happened? Brock can't do his finish anymore?
It's one of two things. Like, either Brock didn't realize. I don't think Brock understood like how massive Otis is, like in terms of like top heavy, and I think it just surprised him. So he just like tossed him. And also, I don't know if Otis realized it's not a flip bump; it's just a flat bump.
Yeah.
But whatever. It still looked great.
Yeah, Otis exploded through that table.
It looked like it hurt him too.
Everything that Brock did looked like it hurt. The suplexes on Gable on the outside looked like they hurt. Like, that was... I just felt bad. I just felt bad for those guys. What did they do? Who did they offend?
The chair shots were bad because it looked like Brock just didn't care. Like, it looked like all his weight right with that chair. Pretty rough.
Like, if that's your assignment for the night, that's not fun. That's not fun for you.
Well, it's fun for Brock.
I mean, you're cannon fodder. It's bullshit. It's not right.
You know, I'm sure they don't mind getting that moment with Brock.
I don't think that's the moment with Brock that they envisioned. It kind of sucks for them. I just felt bad for them taking that from Brock for no reason. There's no story behind it. They get nothing from it. I don't know. Maybe it'll change their character and they'll do something off of it next week. But knowing the WWE, maybe not. Damian Priest and Finn Balor cut this promo. Priest was trying to enlist Dominic Mysterio to join the Judgment Day, which is like just a tag team at this point.
Right.
And that promo was awful. It was so bad. And then Finn wrestled Rey Mysterio, and he beat him. And that match was pretty good. The match was good, but man, that promo. Whew. This Judgment Day stuff is not working.
Well, to be fair, Finn's part in that promo wasn't exactly great either.
No, but he didn't talk as much as Damian Priest.
No, but it just seems like they have somewhat of an idea for this group, but not completely, and it doesn't feel like they're all in on this idea. So they're just trying to spew the same lines and verbiage, but it's like, I don't think they even know what the hell they're talking about sometimes.
Nope.
So that's the hard part.
I don't think they have a clue what you're really doing. No. It's a mess. The match was pretty good, though, right? Finn and Rey? I think that was first time ever. It's pretty good.
I thought it was all right. I thought the commercial break kind of killed a bit of the momentum bit. It felt like they were building, and the commercial break kind of slowed it down too much.
Mm-hmm.
That match would have been better. Like, I'd love to see them wrestle one-on-one on pay-per-view. I think that'd be much better, but I don't think we're going to get that, sadly. Also, I don't know about you. I see Dominic actually joining Judgment Day.
He should.
I think because they talk about Rey, his 20th year in WWE, whatever, Madison Square Garden, I think that's when it's going to happen.
The Rey and Dominic team, it's run its course. You see them, you don't care about them anymore. I don't know if you ever really cared that much. And at this point, you really don't care. And this Judgment Day thing needs a member. It needs something to make it more interesting. So Dominic joining would be that thing. Turn Dominic, get a new member for the group. It adds a new layer to them. So I think that's probably the move. Ah, shit.
It's one game. Don't worry about it. You're still first.
They're losing a lot. They're losing too many goddamn games. Yankees just lost in 11 innings to the Red Sox 5-4. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but they still got, a 10-game lead on them in the
division? Red Sox scored on a pass ball. Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have a huge lead, but on the division and on basically all of baseball, but still, like, that lead is getting smaller, and the lead is getting smaller, and they were playing a lot better like a month ago. So now you start to wonder, Okay, are the wheels starting to fall off on this thing? If they're getting worse now, like, do they just keep getting worse? Because I don't really care if you win the division if you lose in the first round of the playoffs. I actually don't care if you win the division. I want you to win the World Series. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Yankees to win the whole thing. I'm not trying to see, like, we won the ALCS, we went to the World Series, and, we lost there. No. I want to get all the way, championship, let's go, World Series. And this is a team that could do it, but if they start falling apart now, things, who knows? They're losing games that they shouldn't be losing. They're playing in ways that they should not be playing right now. And they're just not as good as they were a month ago, so I worry.
Well, still plenty of baseball left, so I wouldn't worry too much.
No, I'm not, tremendously worried, but I'm a little, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried. Sometimes, we're hitting the midseason mark, and they're kind of stumbling into the All-Star break, which I don't love. I'd like them to be a little bit stronger right now. Anyways, Yankees sometimes lose to the Red Sox. Bullshit.
It's good to have these rough patches because that makes your team stronger in the end because you learn how to win back,
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as they win the World Series, I won't complain until next year when they don't win the World Series, As long as they win every year, I'm happy. If they don't, well, we got a problem. Carmella won. She beat Bianca Belair by countout after Bianca was distracted by Becky Lynch ringside. Becky says that she demands a title shot at SummerSlam, whoever the champion is. This was a championship match that Carmella technically won. She danced around with a belt that she did not win in the countout, but you figure Carmella will get another shot at the belt. Bianca gave Carmella her finisher, the KOD. Is it going to be Bianca versus Becky? Or Bianca, Carmella, Becky at SummerSlam? I think probably Bianca versus Becky at this point. It makes sense. Like, they had their match last year at SummerSlam. They had a match at WrestleMania. Why not bookend this thing, the trilogy, at SummerSlam? Becky, Bianca.
Right. I completely agree. That's what I said last week. However, it feels like they're making a strong case for Carmella right now. And maybe that's it. They want to make it a little bit different. They want to throw Carmella in there, make it a three-way possibly. I mean, to me, it doesn't really make much of a difference. As long as you put Bianca and Becky in there, that's what people want to see. I mean, you can throw Carmella in there, give her that cheap win. I mean, it doesn't mean much, but, you know, just give people what they want, which is Becky and Bianca. That's all you need to do.
It seems like the move. I think throwing Carmella in there would cheapen the match at SummerSlam. It would just, you know, a three-way is not as impactful. Considering they had the match at SummerSlam last year, you had a WrestleMania match, you can finish it off with SummerSlam this year and move on. I think that's the way to go, but we'll see. Ciampa is such a jabroni. Miz keeps asking Logan Paul to be his tag team partner. Logan Paul keeps sending video messages saying he doesn't want to. And then Miz is like, well, if you don't want to, I'll give you one more shot. And I still got this guy, Ciampa, next to me. And Ciampa's like, yeah, he's got me. Ugh. It's like, dude, you're such a loser. Like, you're just you're Miz's backup. You know it. And you're fine with it. Because you've decided that Miz is, like, famous and good at being a famous wrestler. And you want some of the Miz shine. That was basically the explanation that Ciampa gave. Saying, well, Miz is really famous in wrestling, and I want to be famous too. Right? It's sad.
That's pretty much exactly what he said, yeah. Yeah, but he needs something, right? And, like, it kind of makes sense, too, where it's like he's not popular, right? No, not a lot of people know who he is, and he's trying to get a lot of that popularity off the Miz. Like, it makes sense in terms of a story. And, like, I think it'll actually help Miz matches, because, like, if you have to watch a Miz match, at least Ciampa can be there and do a lot of the wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that. Do you think they do Jake Paul versus Miz one-on-one at SummerSlam? It seems like they will. Maybe Ciampa interferes. It's like I don't know.
I'm hoping for the tag, I think. I think the tag is the way to go because it would be a better match.
Yeah.
But they are big on the singles, though, so it's tough. We'll find Logan Paul's going to be on Raw this Monday, so we'll find out, I think.
Oh yeah, Logan Paul on Raw Monday. That's pretty good. Raw in Tampa on Monday. All right. Logan Paul, maybe an AJ Styles against Ciampa and Miz at SummerSlam. Makes a lot of sense, but Logan Paul says he wants Miz one-on-one. AJ Styles and Ezekiel got the disqualification win over Ciampa and Miz on Raw when Ciampa just attacked AJ Styles. AJ had Miz in the calf crusher. Ciampa was the illegal man, jumped in, wouldn't stop punching AJ Styles, so the referee just called for the bell. Bad finishes in WWE this week. This was probably the worst. Not good.
Oh, I don't know. I thought Bianca was worse because it's like, how big of an idiot are you? Or it's like you're getting counted out and just Becky distracting you and it's like you don't get back in the ring.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty bad. Like, I don't know. Like this is like, well, that can happen. You know, whatever. The guy gets too upset. He starts punching him too much, ignores the count. That makes a bit more sense than that stupid Bianca is a moron thing.
Yeah, you're probably right. I thought the Madcap Moss Theory finish on SmackDown tonight was pretty terrible when Theory just decided to hit him with the briefcase and cause a disqualification. I didn't love that. I hate when guys decide to bail on their match. Like, I'm not doing so well. I'm going to hit you with a weapon and stop this whole thing. Yeah, Carmella getting the win over Bianca because Bianca just looked at Becky Lynch and forgot that she was being counted out. That was pretty bad. But Ciampa just punching AJ Styles and the referee saying, yep, that's enough. Wasn't great either. Alexa Bliss and Asuka were a tag team this week, beating Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop. I don't think the women's tag team division is still a thing. They haven't crowned new champions since Sasha and Naomi left. Sasha's gone for real, too. She's totally gone. And there's no tag team champions. And Alexa Bliss and Asuka, who are stars in their division, in a way, former champions, they're wrestling in a kind of nothing tag team match. There's nothing going on with Alexa Bliss or Asuka. I feel like WWE, at one time, liked both of them, and they were, you know, pushed at a high level, and now they've kind of worn out their welcome, and they're just there. Like, I don't think they have plans for Alexa Bliss or Asuka anymore. And, you know, they're willing to have them on the show, but they really aren't going to do much with them, and that's just their reality. They've worn out their welcome in WWE world.
Well, this is what's kind of great about having the tag titles. It gives them something to do in the meantime when they're not chasing, like, the Raw or SmackDown titles. So I think they're slowly trying to build up their tag division again. And they have enough people on the roster to pull this off. It's Raw and SmackDown tag titles, so I they should bring this back, like, sooner than later, I think.
I don't know about that. I don't think they need it.
Well, just goes to show you there's people that are just doing nothing, so why not have tag champs again? There's too many women on the roster.
I mean, you're right, but they don't really do anything with the tag teams. They don't keep anybody as a real tag team for any length of time. They don't really have a tag team division. It's a singles division that once in a while you put two singles together and they become a tag team. And there was no focus ever on the women's tag team division when they had titles. I don't think it's something that is missed in the WWE right now. They have so many championships. I see your point. Like, maybe they need the tag team belts, but they didn't do anything with them. They do have a deep roster. They have a lot of people there, but do they really have enough TV time for all of them to focus on the division? They probably do. I mean, if you focused as much on the women's tag division as you did on the guy who shaved his beard, who's now his own younger brother, like, you might have something there. You know what I mean? Like, they have given us so much goddamn, oh, I'm not Elias, I'm Ezekiel, and oh, and all this stuff, and I shave my beard, I'm his younger brother, hello, he comes out, he's like, hi, I'm Ezekiel, Elias' younger brother. You would just say your name is Ezekiel, you wouldn't really say, like, by the way, you know my brother? It's stupid, and they spent so much TV time on this. They never spent that much TV time on the women's tag team champions. You know what I mean? Like, they've given more time to this Elias Ezekiel thing than they ever gave to the women's tag team titles. It's not like they don't have the talent or they don't have the TV time. They're just not going to do it. You know, because they don't care.
Well, they just need to refocus. That's it. They can pull this off. They just need to, actually put effort.
I think that's a pretty broad statement for all of the WWE right now. They just need to refocus a little bit. Just focus up and maybe... Do you not understand the head of creative? He's got a lot of things on his mind right now, John. Every week there's new allegations coming out. He did this. He did that. He's paying women off. Like, this guy obviously is not that focused on wrestling. All these allegations, he's clearly more focused on doing weird shit with women than he is on his own wrestling show. How does he find the time? He's sending more dick pics than he is paying attention to the women's tag team division. He's probably sent more dick pics to the women's tag team division than he has to, you know. I mean, come on. He's not paying attention. He's out to lunch. Fucking Vince.
Well, Vince will take it for a while, but, you know, Vince, he always bounces back, so I wouldn't be surprised he'll get through this.
It's like 80 years old, man. Yeah, bounce right back forever. At some point, you don't bounce. There's no more bounce.
You know? With Vince, it feels like nothing can beat him. Well, it just seems that way.
Well, I don't know. I know one thing that can beat him. Stone Cold Steve Austin can beat him. Beat the shit out of him at WrestleMania. It's fantastic. All right. AEW stuff. You want to talk AEW?
We can. A lot happened there. So
did it?
Interesting.
What happened?
Well, we have new tag champs. That was eventful.
Let's start there. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee became the new AEW tag team champions in a triple threat tag team match, beating the Young Bucks, taking the belts from the Bucks, and Ricky Hobbs and Will Starks. Nope. Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Well, the match was pretty good. I liked it. People are wondering if the finish was supposed to happen that way. I mean, it seemed about right to me. I don't know. I don't get the controversy.
I was surprised by this. Like, I did not see a tag title change whatsoever. So maybe that's what people thought, what the heck? But I think that's what was supposed to happen. However, I mean, I can understand where people are like, that wasn't the legal man. And, like, if you go back on it, it's an absolute mess of, like, who's in the ring and who's not in the ring. So I can understand in those cases where the ref doesn't know who the legal man is, because the referee also got knocked out.
Right.
So in those cases, like, I'm not saying it's good that this happened, but it's, like, I can understand where the referee lost control in a sense. And, you know, we always bash on Rick Knox, but, you know, in this case, because he got hit, like, he gets a bit of a pass on this one.
Isn't it the wrestler's duty, too, to know who the legal man is?
It is.
Like, Ricky Starks was not the legal man. He got pinned, right?
Right.
Hobbs was the legal man?
I believe it was Hobbs, or it was actually maybe one of the Bucks. I know Swerve was legal.
Right.
Swerve was legal. But yeah, Hobbs wasn't legal. I mean, Starks wasn't legal. So
but isn't it,
again,
like,
the ref was knocked out, though.
But that was the planned finish, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was. But, I mean,
they were
you
just
could
supposed
see
to make a
the
tag.
End, too.
There was supposed to be a tag that just never happened, right? Before the finish?
But there was so much chaos and all that. Like, I don't even know if you, like, I had a hard time understanding what the hell was really going on, because there's just so much happening.
I didn't know.
Like, there wasn't really. It wasn't really a tag match, it felt at the end. It was just, you know, a bunch of brawling. So I can understand, like, you know, you lose control or whatever, and, you know, things just happen the way they did. But I think that's what was supposed to happen in the end in terms of the finish. We're supposed to get new tag champs. They're not going to overturn it, I don't think. I don't think that's the plan anyways. However, the Bucks can use this now, and that's their excuse for the rematch.
Yeah. I didn't know that they had pinned the illegal man until, like, people were pointing it out after the fact online. You know, I didn't notice when I was watching. And like you said, there's so much chaos in these matches, man. Like, everybody's in the ring at all times. Does it matter who the legal man is? If they're not making tags or doing double team moves and nobody's getting the count of five and getting disqualified, does it matter? It's a tornado tag at that point, isn't it? You don't need tags.
Well, for me, if the ref's on the ball, it's fine. But because the ref was knocked out, you know, I can understand. Like, he wasn't aware or something. you can throw that out there. So that's kind of fine. Mm-hmm. But also, you can also say where it's like, well, maybe it shouldn't be so chaotic. Maybe there should have been a bit more control. Because, like, it felt like it was chaotic for, like, at least 10 minutes, you know, not the last 5 minutes. So, I mean, you could make that argument as well. But it was very exciting. I thought Keith Lee really shined in this one.
Yeah.
And I thought Hobbs as well, too. Hobbs had some great moments as well. They did a good job of, like, showcasing everyone in their own little moments. But I thought Keith Lee and Hobbs, just because they're so big and they can throw people around, they really were able to showcase themselves in this match.
Throw people around and fly. I mean, Keith Lee did that dive over the top rope. It was unbelievable. That guy is a hell of an athlete. He could really move. For the size that he is, to be able to jump and fly around like that, it's incredible. The match was really good. I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, it's what you would expect from one of those Young Bucks triple threat tag team matches. But what I really didn't expect was the finish. Swerve and Lee becoming the new tag team champions. I thought we were headed towards a Bucks FTR match for all the gold. Possibly at All Out in September at their pay-per-view. Maybe we're still headed towards that. Maybe right. The Bucks get the belts back from Swerve and Lee. I could see that happening too. But I didn't think that they would drop them. I didn't think that they would drop them to Swerve and Lee. Very surprised.
I was a little disappointed in the finish. I don't know if you noticed the finish. Like, to me, it didn't look like that double stomp hit, actually.
Right.
But besides that, I mean, whatever. It's a little thing. That could be more to the camera angle, like, because I saw another angle and it actually looked better on that one. So It could have just been the way it was shot. So, but that was just a little disappointing part right there, where it's like, I feel like in a lot of these matches where you see it's like, oh, great move. And then the finish is like, it's not that great. Everything else was so amazing, but the finish is just meh.
Yeah. It was kind of a flat finish, but then there was a surprise, like, when he hit that double stomp, I was like, oh, that's going to be two. But it was three. I was like, what?
It was three.
They won? Oh, okay. And, you know, they're a pretty good tag team. I like them. You know,
They almost broke up during the match. It was weird.
That's weird.
Well, we got a question here.
Doug Heppern says, still doesn't know. Oh, yeah, that is weird. I thought you were a member. I'm pretty sure you're a member. I don't know why you're not. Don't know why my name isn't green. Still want to be a member for life. I'll check my account tomorrow. Thanks, boys. Thank you, Doug, for the super chat. Thank you for supporting the Ringside Report Network. Join.ringsidereport.net if you haven't already. Join.ringsidereport.net. I see Franco316. He's a member. He is, his name is in green. Usually if you're a member of the team, your name pops up in green. I don't know why Doug's name isn't, but I know Doug is a supporter and a member, so even if his name is not in green, I know who he is. I know Doug. Doug out in Kingston, keeping me updated on the Yankee game tonight. I appreciate you. Unfortunately, we lost, which really sucks, but, you know, whatever. Do the Bucks take the belts back from Swerve and Lee before a match with FTR, possibly? Oh, Doug is a member via donate.ringsidereport.net. You can go to donate.ringsidereport.net or join.ringsidereport.net. And if you do the join.ringsidereport.net, it's through YouTube, and YouTube takes a cut. But that way your name goes in green. But if you go to donate.ringsidereport.net, nobody gets a cut. We get all the proceeds to the Ringside Report Network, but your name doesn't show up in green. But you're still listed on the credits at the end of the show with your name when we thank the members, which is a new feature. We got the credits at the end of the show. We thank all the members. Doug's name is definitely there. And his name's on the board as a Super Chat Leader of the Night as well. So do the Bucks take it back? Do we have this match for all the gold at All Out, or was this just a wrestling fantasy that we had? What do you think?
Well, I think the Bucks are going to take it back. I think we're going to get the match with FTR. Just maybe we were thinking All Out. Maybe It's going to be full gear instead for that match.
November.
I mean, they like to do storylines, so why not?
That's a long way away, November. I think they could get it done by September. They've got a month and a half to do it. I think they could do it.
Well, I think the Bucks are probably going to get the belts back in September, I think.
That's a lengthy run for Swerve and Lee. I don't know.
It's not that lengthy when you think about it. September 4th. It's not that far away.
Yeah. It's a month and a half. Not that long of a run. You might be right. Serena Deeb beats Anna Jay with her Serenity Lock submission, and she held on to the move, and Mercedes Martinez came out after the match to stop Serena Deeb. They're having a match for their women's Ring of Honor belt at some point, I think.
To the pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Claudio Castagnoli had a pretty good match with Jake Hager. Beats Hager with the Ricola Bomb. That was a solid one.
It was all right, you know. Solid match. Like, wasn't, like, amazing, but it was good. I mean, you don't see Hager wrestle that much, so it's kind of refreshing, actually, to see.
Yeah. Two guys that know each other. Of course, the fans were chanting, "We the People," former tag team. I liked it. I thought that match was pretty good. John Moxley and Konosuke Takeshita was also pretty good. Moxley getting the win with a bulldog choke. Takeshita is very good. The more I see of this guy, more I like him.
Why was he bleeding? Like, I didn't catch that.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just saw he was bleeding. I was like, oh, what happened? But I never went back and found out. Moxley was bleeding, too. Both guys were bleeding by the end. The match was good,
Moxley,
though, right?
Moxley just touched his face like he bleeds for whatever reason, yeah. You know?
What do you think about Takeshita?
But it was... I thought this was his best showing, to be honest. Like, this showed, like, he's one of the up-and-coming stars, in a sense. Like, to me, this was... Like, they pushed Wheeler like this, but, you know...
Yeah.
Like, I feel Wheeler didn't get... He's not as good, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel, but...
No, he's not as good. He's not as big either.
That, too. That's another thing, too. Like, he looks more like a wrestler.
But Wheeler speaks English. I don't think Takeshita does.
I guess. Yeah.
You know? Speaking English helps when you're cutting promos.
Yeah, manager.
Yeah, manager. But he's a very talented wrestler, Takeshita. That match with Moxley was pretty damn good. What was your match of the night on Dynamite? Was it the tag? Was it Claudio and Hager? Was it Moxley and Takeshita? I thought we had some really good matches on this show. Solid wrestling.
I guess it has to be the tag.
Yeah.
Not that I don't even know if it was the best match, but because of the surprise,
mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I kind of put over everything else. And
no,
there was
some
good
you.
Action. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought the tag was my favorite match of the night. But it was close because I really like Claudio and Hager, and I really like Moxley and Takeshita. But I thought the tag match was just, it had more on the line. I think it was given the most time. It was a hell of a match. I'm a big fan of the Young Bucks. I really like seeing Swerve and Lee develop as a tag team. Hobbs and Starks are really good. It felt different for AEW too, you know? You have Swerve and Lee, you have Hobbs and Starks, you have the Bucks. It feels like a fresh kind of match. The Bucks are wrestling new tag teams. And the new tag teams seem pretty good, you know? They're solid tag teams. And look, Swerve and Lee, new tag team, they just beat the Bucks. They're the new champions. But they didn't pin the Bucks. And they also pinned the Illegal Man. So the Bucks probably will get the rematch down the road. But apparently Matt Jackson might be hurt, so maybe not for a bit. I think the Bucks are going to become friends with Hangman at some point. I think they're going to get back together with Hangman. Seems like they're teasing that on being the Elite.
So they're going to turn Hangman heel then?
Not necessarily. I think they'll turn the Bucks babyface to take the shine off FTR.
I don't know about that.
I mean, if they joined back with Hangman, I think the people would be pretty happy with them. I think there would be a lot of sympathy and kind of the whole reuniting angle. People would be happy.
Well, Hangman scheduled a team with the Dark Order, right? I feel like on one of these Fighter Fest nights, he's going to be teaming with the Dark Order. They mentioned that on a promo, I think.
I don't know.
We still got two more nights of this Fighter Fest.
Yeah. I know that next week, I know what's happening next week on Dynamite, but I don't know. Because tonight, Hangman was on the promo with Silver and Reynolds on Dynamite, but that was for the match that Silver and Reynolds had tonight against Malakai Black and Brody King that they lost. Hangman wasn't in that match.
Was he supposed to be, though?
I don't think so. I think he was just, like, in the promo with Johnny Hungy and Alex Reynolds. Because they're friends. I think that's it.
Well, I think if Hangman joins up with the Young Bucks, I think he's going to probably turn on the Dark Order, I think. That's the way to do it.
Maybe, maybe not. What's Hangman doing right now?
Nothing.
It's kind of weird. I said Dynamite is just not, doesn't feel as important without Punk, Brian, MJF, and Kenny Omega. When they get those guys back, the show will start to kind of feel more like what it is. Right now, when I'm watching AEW, it kind of feels like, all right, well, we're waiting. There's an interim champion. We're kind of waiting around for something real to happen. The main stars of the company are not here. MJF, like, who knows what's going to happen with him? How long do you wait to bring him back? Do you bring him back? Will they bring him back? Bryan Danielson's injured. Who knows what's going to happen with him? Punk will probably wrestle Moxley at All Out for the belt. Kenny, who knows? But those guys are important to the company, and they're not around right now, and it makes the show feel a little bit less important. You get that feeling? Like, don't you think the show would be better if, you know, Punk was on, or Bryan, or MJF, or Kenny, or all four of them at the same time, you know? Because they've done that before, and it was pretty good. And this current show that they're doing, like, it's okay, but it doesn't feel like it means anything, or means as much.
I don't know, because next week we got that big match with Jericho and Kingston, the barbed wire everywhere. Whoa, they're going to have the whole Jericho society, like, suspended in a shark cage. They said it's going to be above the ring. Like,
yeah.
I'm very interested to see how this is all going to turn out here.
I guess. It's a gimmick, though, and it doesn't really mean anything.
Still, you're going to spend that many guys up top a ring for that long? Like,
you're just scared to see the cage. You're wondering if it's going to fall down.
That'd be horrific.
Right.
Plus the barbed wire everywhere. I mean, what does that really entail? Like, there's going to be just barbed wire lying around everywhere? Or is, like, the ropes will be barbed wire?
I don't know. I mean, it could be good. It could be bloody. It might not be that great.
Better be bloody.
I mean, it will be bloody. But it might not be that great. It might not. I don't know. I'm not super excited about another Jericho-Eddie Kingston match that really solves nothing. It solves nothing.
They said this is going to be the end. They said this is it.
Well, that's fine. I didn't care about the beginning or the middle. So, the end doesn't really do much for me either. I like Jericho and all, but this Eddie Kingston thing, it's like, all right, dude. Jericho's promo was good this week. The in-ring promo. Jericho says he's going to be the pain maker for the match, so he'll come out with the hat and the makeup.
That's cool.
Yeah. I like this promo.
I don't
know
why Ric Flair was so pissed at him, though. Like, I don't understand that. Like,
yeah, because Jericho called himself a living legend, and Flair's like, you're not a living legend. And anybody that calls himself great, Ric Flair gets all mad. I don't know. Ric Flair is a little... I don't know. Something's not right with Ric Flair.
Well, if he's fishing for that last match, I think Jericho would actually be a good opponent for him. In terms of star power?
Yeah.
In terms of star power, there's nobody higher than Jericho available to him.
Maybe he's working, you're thinking? You're thinking maybe it's an angle?
No, I actually don't think it's an angle. I think Rick actually just gets pissed for some reason. Like,
yeah.
Rick is like that.
Yeah, he's
but
crazy.
He should work it into an angle, to be honest. Like,
he was probably drunk.
Probably.
Yeah, he's just drunk tweeting. I don't think anybody should take it seriously when Ric Flair just goes off, "Hey, Jericho, you're not the man." I don't do a Ric Flair impression. Everybody was mad that Wardlow took so long to beat Orange Cassidy. It was a TNT title match that opened up the show this week. Like, I get it, and people hate Orange Cassidy and all that, but AEW, they book him respectfully, you know? They book him like one of their stars. Yeah. So I get that people are mad because people like Wardlow, and I think a lot of the people that like Wardlow are the same people that hate Orange Cassidy. You know?
Yeah, probably.
Like, they like a big hoss who just smashes through people, and they really don't like a skinny guy with his hands in his pockets who does a little kicks. But AEW, you know, there's room for everybody in this company. And Orange Cassidy, you get past the gimmick, you get past the silliness. He's actually a pretty good wrestler. But I get it. You know, I get being upset Wardlow took so long to beat him. But at the same time, this is AEW. Have you not seen how Orange Cassidy is booked in this company? He's booked to be one of the mid-card stars. So he's not going to get squashed by Wardlow. He's going to, you know, get some offense in. And he had some help from his friends. Trent was there at ringside. Danhausen was there at ringside distracting Wardlow. It wasn't like it was Orange by himself getting all this over on Wardlow. He had a little help from his buddies. And eventually he lost. It's not like he won. But I did see a lot of people mad. And I was like, I get it, but like, come on. This is what AEW does with Orange Cassidy. They treat him well. If you don't like it, I don't know, deal with it.
Well, I just wouldn't have booked this match. Like, if you were to have this match, it shouldn't have been the first for his TNT title defense. That was the problem, I think, with it. Like, it was too early to have this match. Maybe later time, you know, more of a build. Then I can understand a bit more because, yeah, you're going to get this kind of match. I understand that. But I just think the timing of it wasn't particularly good for either guy, to be honest.
For Wardlow, I get it because it's his first title defense. Probably not the match you wanted. Maybe a little bit more, you know, a decisive, more dominant victory.
And a heel, too.
A heel would have worked, too. Yeah, babyface on babyface was weird. It was a weird selection. It was a very weird selection. But for Orange, I feel like this makes him look good. Because he didn't get squashed by Wardlow, and we've seen so many people get squashed by Wardlow. I think this was good for Orange. I think off this, you could do something with Orange. And Wardlow will continue with the TNT title, and he'll look more impressive going forward. I don't think this was the worst thing. I didn't love the match. It wasn't my favorite match on the card, but the booking of it wasn't the worst thing possible, but I could see Wardlow maybe getting a heel opponent that he could beat a little quicker for his first title defense with the TNT title. That does make sense to me. But for Orange, I don't see this as a bad thing. Doesn't he look stronger having gone toe-to-toe with Wardlow and done pretty well? Nobody else can really do that well with Wardlow.
Well, it's because Orange is just coming off a pay-per-view loss. And then he gets a title shot.
The Will Ospreay, though. The Will Ospreay. Right. I mean, Ospreay is the man.
But again, like, they should have built this. They should have had more time. Not just right away, like the way they did it. Plus, it opened the show. Like, I think it would have been easier for people to swallow it if it was like the second hour start.
I guess. I was actually more upset that Orange got so much over on Will Ospreay. I was like, this match is too competitive. You know? It's like a little too competitive.
It's exactly what I expected. It was too long.
Ospreay is so good. And that's pretty much everything happening on Dynamite. This week on Dynamite, you've got Fyter Fest continuing. Eddie Kingston will wrestle Chris Jericho in the... Now, I'm not joking. This is what this match is being billed as. The Discovery Channel Shark Week Barbed Wire Everywhere Deathmatch. With the Jericho Appreciation Society suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Because the Discovery Channel is part of the TNT network, TBS, whatever, Turner Broadcast Network thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing Shark Week, so that's why they're having a shark cage to put the Jericho Society in. Darby Allin is going to wrestle Brody King. And Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison will wrestle Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. This week it was Luchasaurus getting the win over Griff Garrison. And Christian cutting a promo about Griff, how he looks like Jungle Boy, and telling Luchasaurus to take his anger out on Jungle Boy onto Griff. And he says, oh, Brian Pillman Jr., you're a disappointment to your father. Which, you know. Yeah, to throw in a dagger there, because that's what Christian is doing these days. But as far as daggers and as far as promos, this one was kind of forgettable. And then Luchasaurus wrestled Griff Garrison, which is also forgettable. But at least on Dynamite, Christian will wrestle. It'll be Christian and Luchasaurus against Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison. And then we'll have Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta in a tag team against Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I feel Christian, I think he likes Brian Pillman Jr., and I don't feel he has any ill will towards Brian Pillman. He probably looks up to Brian Pillman. So I think he tried to not bury them so much. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, he said, oh, Brian Pillman, people say he's a legend. I don't think he's a legend because he doesn't have as many world championships as me. That's basically all he said, which is not a big deal.
Right. But that's him being nice.
Yeah. That's nice, Christian. Your father, your dead father will be disappointed in you, Brian Pillman Jr. That's me being nice.
Well, nice guy, that Christian.
Yeah, I know. He said some pretty horrible things. Yeah. All right, John, take it easy. Why are you cutting a promo on Pillman Jr. here? Poor guy. He's got no parents.
You're saying there's ammunition. There's ammunition. That's it.
Yeah, I remember what MJF said about him. Remember when MJF cut that promo on Pillman Jr.? That was vicious.
That was pretty bad, yeah. Yeah. But that's it. Like, I feel too many people have already taken shots, and it's like, you can't destroy the kid too much because then there's nothing left.
It just feels mean. I feel bad for the guy. And I don't care one bit about Griff Garrison. Don't give a shit. When Julia Hart left them, I was like, good for you. You go in with a cooler group now. You left those loser guys. It's bad. They're not too good.
But they exist. They're a tag team.
That's true. They do exist. They are a tag team. You know who doesn't exist as a tag team anymore? The Super Smash Brothers, otherwise known as Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. They used to be a tag team in AEW, and now I guess they're not a tag team. I don't know if they're still teaming, but I know that Stu Grayson will be wrestling Handsome JF next Saturday. And I know a man named El Contador who will also be on that card. Are you familiar with this card, John? Do you know more about this thing?
I know that match is happening. All the other matches, not so much, because apparently, from what I'm told, the card keeps changing every day. So you pretty much just show up and you'll see what happens. But that title match should be what actually happens. Everything else, wait and see.
So is El Contador wrestling?
Oh, I'm not too sure about that right now. But he'll probably appear in some fashion.
What about The Connection? Is The Connection wrestling?
Possibly. I'm not sure yet. Wait and find out. You'll see on Saturday. Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. On the streets of Montreal, right?
I want to say St. Catharines, is it not?
And
that's
it's
where
outdoors.
They have the Just for Last Festival.
It's outdoors?
Outdoors, so it's free for everyone.
Free for everybody. And Stu Grayson, formerly of AEW, will be there in the main event wrestling Handsome JF, right?
That's correct.
Can you get Stu Grayson to sign my fig?
I could ask him if you want, sure.
Yeah! I'm going to get Mark the intern to do that for me. That guy can do anything. You know? He's going to be there. AJ will be there. I'll be there. We'll be there.
Nice.
We're going to be there. So we're hoping for an El Contador match. If there's no El Contador match, we riot. All right?
Well, there might be a riot then.
Well, there may be a riot. So be prepared for a riot.
It's going to be late, though. 9:15 start time. And knowing wrestling shows, that might mean 9:30, 9:45 start time.
Yeah, but how many matches are on the show? Like two or three?
Oh, I think like maybe five or six.
What?
Again, wait and see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
Okay.
No, Zevi? No. Too late.
Yeah, not for the children. I'm not going to bring... I was really hoping that the show outdoors that you were having in Montreal would be, you know, in the afternoon or something so I could take my kids. Free show outside, wrestling show. Free show... Free wrestling show, to me, is in the afternoon. But that's just me.
7 o'clock, to me, like, that would have been great. Fantastic.
9:30? Yeah. Who's putting this show on, exactly? It's part of the comedy festival? Is this going to be comedy
right.
wrestling?
I believe a comedian is supposed to be wrestling on the show.
Who?
Someone Vashon.
Mad Dog? He died.
Not Mad Dog. Yeah,
Luna
Mad Dog passed
also
away,
died.
Yeah, someone else, though.
Who's booking
who
this thing?
Named Vashon.
Who? All right, we'll talk about
you
it off
the to...
Yeah.
For more information, you just check out the FLQ Wrestling Facebook page.
Oh, right, it's FLQ Wrestling. Okay. Because I saw it was Comedy Festival. I couldn't quite understand who it was. Is Jeremy on this thing?
No, I don't believe Jeremy's on this thing.
Ah, come on.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry.
Sexy Eddie?
Nope.
Green Phantom?
Nope.
Drew Onyx?
Nope.
Oh. All right. Well, Johnny North?
I don't think so.
El Contador?
Again, you know, fingers crossed. Wait and see.
I saw him on the poster.
That's, put him on the... You know, it's a good sign. It's a good sign.
I saw El Contador on that poster.
Right.
So I thought, hey, wait a second. I know El Contador. I'd like to see him wrestle. Rather, I'd like to see you wrestle Stu Grayson. I think that would be fun, too. And Handsome JF. I think those would all be fun matches. I'm sure you've wrestled. Have you wrestled Handsome JF before?
I don't believe I have.
Really?
No.
He's been around.
I know. I've known him for a very long time, but yeah, I've never wrestled him before. It just never worked out. You know, that's the problem when you're both heels.
Yeah.
You know, your paths just don't, you know, you see each other, but your paths don't cross in that way.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how handsome is Handsome JF? I've never met him. 1 to 10, John. How do you rate him?
Probably a 10, I would
say.
I mean, he's on Impact. He's on Impact Television, so he's the best, like, in terms of, like, handsome, like, for Quebec. Like, he's got to be a 10 because he's on TV. No one else is good enough for TV.
Is he Sylvain Grenier levels of handsome, though? That guy. Handsome.
Why is he not on TV anymore?
He's not? He should be.
I think Sly's a coach. I think Sly's a coach now for like WWE or something.
Yeah, last I heard he was. I hope he still is. I always liked that guy. Good man. Nice guy, Sylvain. You know?
Sly's a good guy.
I never forget. We were doing a show live on the radio, and then we get a call, and it was Sylvain. He's like, yeah, I'm Sylvain. I'm like, wait a second. Really? And you start talking to him, and you're like, I think this really is Sylvain Grenier. He just called us up. Former WWE Tag Team Champion. He's listening to our show on the radio. He decides to call up and like talk to us about wrestling. It's pretty good.
The best part was like, this is Sly. And it's like, yeah, right, hang up.
And then he calls
back, no, really. Yeah, he did hang up.
That's great.
And then he calls back. That was hilarious.
And he came on the show, and he came in studio. He's a good guy.
Yep. We had him a couple times. Right.
Yeah. Top of the World Wrestling, right? His promotion.
That's
did some
right.
work with them. That was fun. Good good man, that Sly. All right. Johnny North is a good man. And do you know when people can see you in the ring next for sure? Or is everything kind of on a tentative basis right now? What's the story?
Yeah, I guess tentative. But, I mean, go to the Just for Laughs wrestling show. That should be a lot of fun.
Yes.
People will enjoy it. Even if you don't see me wrestle, that'll be good. Next Saturday.
Yeah.
Screw the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I'm going to go down to see some outdoor wrestling with my boy AJ and PR Mark. And I'll probably take some really strong edibles. So if you talk to me, that's why I'll be like that. I just got some gummies that have 1,000 milligrams in a package. And to tell you, John, it's that's a lot. 4 pieces of gummy, 250 milligrams each, baby. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Anyways, I got that. And it's going to be a good time. Muscles Marco might be coming. Yes, I'm for sure taking like 500 milligrams then, because I'm going to have my bodyguard Muscles Marco there to take care of me. Muscles Marco is the muscle. He's all the muscle you need, you know?
Well, pray for AJ. Might be a long night for him.
AJ. See about AJ. I'm coming for you, AJ. You bring it. You bring it, AJ. And AJ is... AJ's on the chat. He says, me and Dave tag team, maybe Muscles Marco, and a special guest. Who's a special guest? Muscles Marco, me, Mark the intern, AJ. Who's a special guest? I don't like special guests. I don't like special guest surprises. I don't like going on an outing and then be like, yeah, we're all going to go out to this thing. And then all of a sudden there's like this other dude that I don't know. I'm like, who are you? I don't like that too much. I get a little, you know. It throws me off. Don't surprise me with people. Don't be a special guest. Tell me who's coming. I don't want a surprise. I don't need surprises. There's nobody you can surprise me with, AJ, that I'll be, like, pleased with. You know?
Because
you're not going to get Fred. So if it's not Fred, I really... There's nobody that AJ could surprise me with that I will be pleased with. Because you've already told me Muscles Marco and Mark. And those are the only two guys that I know, that you know, other than Fred, that I want to see. No offense to anybody, but you know what I mean? Me and AJ don't know a lot of the same people. So whoever he's bringing is somebody I don't know. And that could work, you know, well or not well. You know what I'm saying?
I imagine it's going to be a family member. So maybe you don't know them that well, but you know of them.
Like Noah? Are you going to bring Noah? Is that what you're saying, AJ?
I was thinking his brother.
Oh, his brother. Yeah, that'd be all right. You could bring Julio. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But I don't think his brother wants to come. I don't think his brother likes to associate with AJ. I think his brother, like most of AJ's family, try to disassociate as much as possible. Unless it's a family occasion where everybody has to get together, I don't think they're just going with AJ to some wrestling show in the streets. I think they try to stay as far away from AJ as possible. I haven't learned that lesson. I try to see him as much as possible. But that's by choice. Somehow. I don't know. Gotta love AJ.
He is always on your watch alongs, right beside you. So
right beside
me. What
does
that say?
Well, it says I like him. I like having him around. He's a funny guy. He's a good man. He's fucking crazy, but he's the best, you know? We love AJ. We love AJ. We love Johnny. We love Freddie. We love the whole Ringside Report Network team. The Wolf's coming? Who's the Wolf? Oh, Keitel. Is AJ bringing his buddy Harvey Keitel to the wrestling show? I don't think Harvey Keitel wants to go to the wrestling show with us. I mean, I might be wrong. That'd be good.
Again, this is just for last festival. I mean, maybe he'd be interested in that.
You think Harvey Keitel wants to go to a free wrestling show at the Just for Laughs Festival with me and AJ and Muscles Marco? You think that's what Harvey Keitel wants to do on a Saturday night in Montreal? You don't think Harvey Keitel has better things to do?
It's all how you sell it. It's like, oh, do you want to come to the Just for Laughs Festival? Don't say that you're going to a wrestling show.
He would get to hang out with me. I'm pretty good. He might enjoy himself, you know? He might like it. I don't know. I don't think Keitel is coming. But, hey, if Keitel is coming, I think if Harvey Keitel showed up and he said, look, we want to see an El Contador match. We want to see it right now. People are going to say no to Harvey Keitel. I think El Contador would be in that ring pretty quick, no? If people knew who he was, you know? That shit going.
Again, you would hope, but fingers crossed. No promises.
AJ saying first we're going to go to have spaghetti and meatballs at his mom's and then we're going to the show. I don't think that's happening, AJ. AJ talks a lot about spaghetti and meatballs, but I don't know. I never seen them. Never got a plate. All right, I'm hungry. I need a snack. That's it. Show's over. I'm done. And is Kevin Owens in Montreal? I don't know. I haven't seen him on TV in a while. Is he all right?
He was at the Comic-Con.
Yeah. But is he hurt or what?
Some sort of injury, but it's not too serious, but he's just not on TV. But I think right now he's just kind of spending time with his family, which is nice.
Summer break, maybe. I don't know. Well, good for him. Hope he comes back soon in a meaningful way to the WWE. I would have expected him at SummerSlam, but if they don't have plans for it, maybe decide to take the summer off. Or a few months or a few weeks or whatever. I don't know. All right, guys. I'll be back here Thursday night. It's another off weekend for me where I don't have to do anything. I like when the UFC and the WWE pay-per-views are all in one night. Because then the rest of the weekends, it's like, I don't have to do anything. You know? A lot of free time. UFC 277.
July is coming.
UFC 277 and SummerSlam will be on the same night. Just like Money in the Bank and UFC 276 were on the same night. We're going to be doing a watch-along and a post-show on the same night. SummerSlam, UFC 277, watch along and post show going on at the same time. Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena in the main event. Oh, we're going to cash in so big on this one. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to make so much money on this shit. It's going to be fantastic. Pena is going to, she's going to kill it. She's going to win so much money for us. I can't wait. She's going to win again. Easy peasy. And yes, we're going to win more money. Check out the parlays. Check out Ringside Report MMA every Thursday night, 8 p.m. We gave some picks for the UFC tomorrow. AJ reminding us that it is at 2 p.m. tomorrow. But the prelims are actually at 11 a.m. So if you want to see the whole card, I've got a pick on Ducote over Penne on the first fight of the night, first fight of the day. 11 a.m. Eastern time on a Saturday is when the prelims start tomorrow for the UFC. So I know we're used to these nighttime cards, but this is a daytime card. 11 a.m. They're in Long Island. I don't understand people in Long Island, New York, showing up at 11 a.m. for this, but it is what it is. It's not like they're in the UK and it's at 11 a.m. because of the time difference. It's just 11 a.m. It's 11 a.m. in Long Island like it is here. So it's going to be 11 a.m. for the prelims, and then the main card is at 2 p.m. Check out our picks on this week's episode of Ringside Report MMA. Who did I give you on my parlay? I'll recap my parlay for you real quick. I had Ortega, Amanda Lemos, Ortega and Yair Rodriguez as the main event. I've got Ortega. I've got Amanda Lemos. I had a five-fight parlay. I got Charles Jourdain, of course, Air Jourdain from Montreal. I got Lauren Murphy over Misha Tate. And I got Emily Ducote. Like I said, Ducote over Penne in the opener. So the Team Dave parlay tomorrow, it's a five-fight parlay. Ducote, Murphy, Jourdain, Lemos, and Ortega. Team Dave, ho, ho, ho. Team Dave parlay has won 2 weeks in a row, and we're going to make it 3 weeks in a row tomorrow. We're killing it on the picks. And that's it. I'll be back to give you more picks. Blades, Aspinall next week in London. We'll give you some more winning picks for that card on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Ringside Report MMA, and then every Friday night here, of course, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestling Uncensored. Right here on the Ringside Report Network. Shout out to Doug Hepburn, the Super Chat Leader of the Night.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.net/support to find out more ways to support the channel.